This is Christopher O'Reilly, and thanks for downloading our bonus content podcast featuring the brilliant composer and pianist Conrad Tau. We first met Conrad when he was just 12 years old, and now, in his 20s, he's a Gilmore Young Artist, an Avery Fisher Career Grant recipient, and he's become one of the most in-demand young composers and pianists out there. We were thrilled to be able to commission a new trio of his called Asymptotes, which we'll hear in a minute, but first, here's my conversation with Conrad. We got to catch up on his life, career, and music. Conrad, it's great to be with you again. We've heard your wonderful piano playing since I believe you were 11 years old, and we actually had a taste of your own compositional talents, a piano trio that we had on the show a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, you've completely exploded on the scene.
It's so funny that you mention our history, because I was thinking about this recently, and I went back and listened to the 2004 show. It's wild. It's actually really strange to think about.
Please welcome from New York City our composer Conrad Tau and his performing partner, 12-year-old Pong Pong Gong.
To mimic those old style people, and now it's changed because this is my personal opinion, but I feel that, hey, we're not in 1700 anymore. Live with it. We've got computers, we've got cell phones, let's get new music.
Yeah.
That was 13 years ago, and truth be told, I think I continue to live a lot of my life in somewhat like perpetual shock that it's happening to me. I have been fortunate enough to just continue doing things that are interesting to me and to continue following wherever that might lead me. And I am grateful every single day that people are curious and people are interested in what I have to say and what I want to say, I guess.
And you're playing all over the place, recitals, concertos. I know you've got some things coming up.
Yes, I was just out in San Diego for mainly Mozart, and I was playing Mozart out there, and it actually felt like a little bit of a debutante ball because I haven't played Mozart publicly in a couple of years, and I'm very passionate about that music, so it was very exciting to kind of show whatever I wanted to do with that music for an audience. And I'm performing with the Westchester Philharmonic immediately after that, and that's Tchaikovsky Concerto, and then I'm doing the Khachaturian Concerto at the end of the month in Chicago for the Grant Park Music Festival, and that's in Millennium Park. And it just, you know, I love it. I'm happy to say I still love it.
Mm-hmm. And what's up next in the composing realm for you?
I'm writing more music for solo piano. After a couple of years away from that, I'm writing a new work for the ProMusica Chamber Orchestra in Columbus, Ohio, and I am writing a piece for the wonderful violinist Paul Huang to be performed at Washington Performing Arts in Washington, D.C. And then in the last few years, weirdly enough, most of my writing has been for orchestra, which if you told me that 5 or 6 years ago, I would not have believed you.
Well, that's all very, very, really, really exciting. And thank you again for this truly beautiful piece. This piece is based in part on the idea of people interacting with each other, as you say, coming together and falling apart. What do you find appealing about that particular dialectic?
I generally find seemingly contradictory things to be useful. I think that the tension between coming together and falling apart, I think that somewhere in that liminal space, there's like a kernel of truth about music making, especially chamber music making. I think this has actually been a preoccupation of mine for a long time. I also find that there is something palpably effortful about the sounds of people trying to stay together. So not quite coming together, not quite falling apart, but trying to be together. I think there's something very beautiful about being able to hear that or sense that. To me, that's often very emotional, actually.
That comes from a very different generational standpoint. I mean, you're telling me that you're trying to capture the sound of people trying or making an effort as a group. And I'm experiencing, you know, back a generation ago, you know, people trying to look as if they are not, they're not having any difficulty at all.
Right. Yeah. A fetishization of effortlessness.
Conductors bragging about how they can, you know, rehearse Beethoven's Seventh Symphony in 17 minutes.
See, whereas from my vantage point, that's not something necessarily to be proud of somehow.
There was actually a video that you saw that excited you about this idea of trying or projecting, you know, a sense of effort in performance. What was the video you were referring to?
Oh, yes, indeed. There was a video, I believe it was from a band camp in Florida, I want to say. And it was a summer band camp. I think it was around middle school age. And it was like a culminating performance at this band camp. And so that means it was like, in terms of sheer numbers, it was maybe like three or four like marching band or wind bands put together. So it was a huge number of people. And they were doing this arrangement of Mariah Carey's We Belong Together, which I love that song. I mean, I'm a child of the 2000s. Of course I love that song. But there was something so palpable and visceral about the effort in that performance, and you could hear it, you could see it, and it was as if, you know, the little idiosyncrasies of you know, 12 clarinets all basically playing the same line, but everyone's intonation is slightly different and they're not 100% together. But no, I hope this doesn't come across as like condescending in any way, because I actually thought it was incredibly, incredibly beautiful. And I couldn't quite place why. And then I realized it was because it was possible to perceive the emotion of the players, that it was possible to perceive like the sort of shared experience that they were having. And to me, that was incredibly, incredibly beautiful.
I'm finding that there is so much contrasting material between the three instruments in your piece that there's a richness that has to do partly with that that interdependence, but non-synchronous interdependence. And I'm just wondering how we arrived at the dispensation of materials between the three instruments.
The gist of like how the piece moves harmonically was kind of structured before even all of the details of, you know, how is the viola playing, how is the clarinet playing, how are these instruments interacting with one another. The harmonic material for the most part came before that, but it's after you kind of have that initial sketch down, and then it's like these things, these different units start to take on a life of their own, and the various gestures that a clarinet seems extremely well suited towards, that starts to have an influence on the movement of the thing, and in a weird way, after a certain point, it feels like composing is about taming but nurturing all of the material that you've kind of splayed out in a sense, and shaping it that way and nurturing it, really, because you're trying to still maintain a sense of life and spontaneity in the music too.
John Harbison talks about the composition process and how the first note we hear is not necessarily the first note he began with. Is this a piece that starts from bar one, or was there a nugget somewhere in the middle that was the impetus, the inception of this piece?
I tend to start from the beginning and work to the end. I think because I find it difficult to completely theoretically plan a structure of a work. I like to follow a work and I like to allow for a work to show me where it wants to go. So that involves coming in sometimes with a plan, but sometimes it just means just trying to follow it, follow the music.
Excellently done. You've explained it well. You've given us good direction as performers with our divided responsibilities and efforts. And it's unique. It's a beautiful work.
And now we'll hear the piece From the Top Commission from Conrad Tau. This is his trio for piano, clarinet, and viola, entitled Asymptotes. Ariana Beyer, clarinet, Aaron Pitts, viola, and moi. We played a brand new piece by From the Top alum Conrad Tao, Asymptotes. Asymptotes is a From the Top commission made possible by a generous gift from Janet and John Petillo. Thanks for listening to this bonus content podcast. To hear the full show featuring Conrad Tao, download From the Top Show 342, Santa Barbara. And we'd love to hear from you. You can leave us a message on our Facebook page, facebook.com/fromthetopfans, or on Twitter @classicalkid, or find us on iTunes and leave us a review.